Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Most of their names are unknown to the public. Some even manage to stay off the quasi-official lists of the richest or highest paid men, despite having paid themselves billions or hundreds of millions of dollars per year for many, many years. Perhaps they're blowing it all on cocaine or gambling or trips to Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island, so they really have no income. But I doubt it. They are the owners and managers of secretive, largely unregulated, millionaires-only mutual funds called hedge funds. Funds which are overwhelmingly controlled by Jews. Hedge funds own or control a larger and larger portion of the economy these days. They are unaccountable to the public, and they constitute, through the use of newly invented and constantly morphing financial instruments called derivatives, yet another means by which huge sums of money can be created out of nothing, and through which the real wealth earned by honest folks can be stolen on a gargantuan scale. One seasoned observer of the financial scene stated recently, quote, "I continually come across the names of Jewish plutocrats, many of them multi-billionaires, whose names I have never heard of before. Or if I have seen them, there was no information to provide context, or so little that I've forgotten who they are. You'd have to put a lot of time into compiling lists of these people and then try to keep track of them in order to know what's going on. Many such individuals are quote-unquote investors, typically hedge fund managers. In addition to being virtually unknown to the public at large, including the educated public, their firms and the manner in which they acquired their fortunes are effectively black boxes. You can't figure out how they made or how they make their money. You're led to believe that they're financial geniuses of some sort, and that's it." Many of these men are also philanthropists. They funnel lots of money to the Jewish community, politicians, and left-wing anti-white foundations and social causes. George Soros is the most well-known example. He exemplifies the breed. He even gave money to Noel Ignatiev, a Jewish communist academic advocate of white genocide. But exactly how did Soros amass his fortune? Something about shorting the British pound and being a genius stock investor through his hedge fund. Pretty vague. Of course, we're spared journalistic muckraking and vicious attacks upon these plutocrats. Back in the old America, we never stopped hearing about America's 60 families, the super rich, blah, blah, blah. In the past, even the great unwashed knew all about the evil J.P. Morgan, William Randolph Hearst, Andrew Mellon, Carnegie, Henry Clay Frick, and John D. Rockefeller. But today, no one knows anything about their Jewish replacements, including their names. Even the relatively aware and deprogrammed have typically only heard of Rothschild and Soros. Not only do these men vacuum social resources and wealth away from the rest of society, but through their political contributions and tax-advantage philanthropy, they channel it into anti-white racist and communist causes. Close quote. Most of you have heard of George Soros, the billionaire quote-unquote investor and hedge fund owner who destroys people's savings and funds revolutions around the world. But how many of you have heard of David Tepper, Stephen A. Cohen, John Paulson, Carl Icahn, James Simons, Larry Robbins, Leon Cooperman, Daniel Loeb, Eddie Lampert, Nelson Pellets, Daniel Auk, Israel Izzy Englander, David Einhorn, Seth Klarman, Mark Lassery. These men are the top movers and shakers of the financial world, yet few have ever heard their names. And all of these men are Jews. Out of the top 24 hedge fund managers, 17 are Jews. Out of the top 10 hedge fund managers, 8 are Jews. 80%. Jews are approximately 2% of the U.S. population. Therefore, Jews are overrepresented among hedge fund managers by a factor of 40 times, or 4,000%. Could such an overrepresentation possibly be a coincidence? If the managers are so overwhelmingly from one ethnic group, what does that likely tell us about the even more secretive ownership of these funds? And when one group constitutes 80% of the executives of an industry, particularly when that group is as ethnocentric as the Jews, you may be sure that the same group's actual practical control of the industry is not a jot less than 100%. What is a hedge fund? Hedge funds started many decades ago, and their purpose then was to act as a hedging device to protect investors in case their main investment headed south. Thus, a hedge fund in those days might put a part of its assets into short-selling gold futures if the main investment being hedged was gold mining stocks. If the gold market tanked, the futures contracts would shoot up in value, limiting potential losses. If the main investment was one that rose along with interest rates, then it might be hedged by a position in a security or derivative that went up when interest rates fell, again, limiting possible losses. But hedge funds these days are seldom, if ever, used for hedging other investments. They attained their current and growing massive valuations for quite different reasons and are now used for quite different purposes. When largely Jewish Wall Street swindling and trickery caused public outrage, starting with the great stock market crash of 1929, regulations were put in place to put limits and rules on what the money men could get away with. There were many reporting and disclosure and ethics requirements imposed on ordinary stocks and mutual funds. And the money men didn't like that. But the regulators didn't put many restrictions on what could be done with hedge funds, which weren't sold directly to the general public. So the Jews, who bow to no one when it comes to clever Talmudic ways to get around the letter of the law, figured out ways to qualify millionaire investors only as purchasers of new hedge funds they created, thus evading all the new rules and regulations. Investopedia describes hedge funds as mutual funds for the super rich. Hedge funds can be highly leveraged compared to ordinary regulated mutual funds. Thus, they can make risky bets with borrowed money, that is, money that is created out of thin air by the banking system, another Jewish operation I've discussed on this program. Hedge funds can also invest in highly speculative derivatives, which are really just contracts to pay based on the price or other behavior of an underlying asset. Investopedia describes derivatives as follows. Quote, a security whose price is dependent upon or derived from one or more underlying assets. The derivative itself is merely a contract between two or more parties. Its value is determined by fluctuations in the underlying asset. The most common underlying assets include stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, interest rates, and market indexes. Most derivatives are characterized by high leverage. Futures contracts, forward contracts, options, and swaps are the most common types of derivatives. Derivatives are contracts and can themselves be used as an underlying asset. Therefore, derivatives can be created out of thin air, and their value can even be based on the behavior of other derivatives. Then these derivatives, in turn, can be used as a so-called underlying asset, and other derivatives can be based on them. There is, in theory, no limit to the depth to which this process can be taken. This is remarkably similar to the banking swindle in which money is created out of nothing. In the case of derivatives, Jews can write such contracts all day long, issuing these valueless pieces of paper to themselves, then assigning a value to them and selling them in exchange for real wealth. There are even derivatives based on weather data, such as the amount of rain or the number of sunny days in a particular region. Close quote. Well, maybe I should create a derivative based on how many lies the SPLC tells. How much money are we talking about here? There's a lot we don't know about hedge funds, since many of their operations are secret. But we do know a few things. The highest paid hedge fund manager last year was David Tepper, the Jew who runs Appaloosa Management Limited Partnership. He was paid $4 billion in 2014, dwarfing any industrial CEO you can possibly think of. That's $4,000 million per year, or $1,923,000 per hour, based on a 40-hour week. And that's just one man at one hedge fund for 1 year. If the owners of Appaloosa are willing to pay their manager $4 billion every 52 weeks, imagine the wealth they control. The relatively well-known George Soros came in second, with an annual take of $3.3 billion in 2014, or $1,586,000 per hour. James Simons came in next at $2.5 billion a year, or $1,200,000 every hour. John Paulson was paid $2.4 billion a year, which comes to $1,154,000 an hour. Steve Cohen, who heads SAC Capital Advisors, made $1.4 billion last year, which amounts to $673,000 every hour. These are the five highest paid hedge fund managers at this writing: Cohen, Paulson, Simons, Soros, and Tepper are all Jews. One hears a great deal from the leftist press that executives make too much money, and that income inequality is such a problem that $250,000 a year CEOs and small business owners need to be taxed to the hilt. But for some reason or other, these Jews who make $250,000 every 8 minutes aren't even on the radar. The total dollar value of all hedge fund assets surged to almost $3 trillion this year. That's approaching one-fifth of the entire gross domestic product of the United States of America, and growing. That's huge. And it's a whole industry, that's not really an industry at all, of which most Americans are entirely unaware. But even that is nothing compared to the wealth-sucking derivatives that these Wall Street scammers have created out of thin air. These have been and are being created with abandon both within and outside of hedge funds. If you had the right to create millions or billions in quote-unquote wealth just by writing contracts on pieces of paper, how many contracts would you write? Even Time magazine, a creature of Jewish corporate America, if ever there was one, is forced to admit the scale of this all is almost unbelievable. Quote, "While there's no way of knowing for sure, estimates of the face value of all derivatives outstanding tops a quadrillion, $1,000 trillion, or more than 14 times the entire world's annual GDP. By comparison, the total value of all the stocks trading on the New York Stock Exchange is only $15 trillion. Indeed, the New York Stock Exchange itself is being acquired by an up-and-coming derivatives exchange." Close quote. So now you know, ladies and gentlemen, how your wealth has been stolen. How Jewish fraudsters and tricksters who do no creative work and no productive labor have figured out ways to, as my researcher friend puts it, vacuum up the wealth and assets honest men created. Now you know the means by which the genocide of our race and nations has been funded. And now it is your responsibility to do something about it. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's NATALL.com. Or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Shout to the skies, we will now have.